السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. رسالة الشريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. This Sunday, the 11th of July, something amazing is happening. What's happening? It's coming home, right? Everyone excited? Yeah, it's coming home. Muslims throughout the world, not just in the UK, okay, it's not just an England issue, is it? Okay, it affects everybody. Yeah? It's coming home. We should be excited. It's a big deal. Sunday, 11th July. And we can't wait. The truth? What's happening? What's happening this Sunday? That's something we all know about. That's something we're all engaged in. And that's something we can all relate to. But brothers, sisters, wherever you are, it's not only football that's coming home. Football might be coming home at 8 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. However, something much greater than that is coming home, and that is the best 10 days in the whole year for the Muslims. The 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, inshallah, will be starting way before even football starts. Brothers, sisters, tell everybody it is coming home. Ramadan has gone, and we were depressed, we were feeling down. Spiritually, we felt disconnected, and we thought all our targets for Ramadan that we weren't able to achieve. We thought we'll have to wait for another whole year till Ramadan comes. Our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind, so merciful, so loving, so caring, that before Ramadan, He's telling us you don't need to wait that long. He's going to give you and I an amazing opportunity. The 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are coming home. Very, very soon it's round the corner. And what normally happens is before Ramadan, 2 months before from Rajab, you start hearing lectures, you start hearing talks, you start hearing online courses, webinars, you start hearing discussions and making preparation for the holy month of Ramadan. Because Ramadan is great and we celebrate it and we try to make the most. But unfortunately, when it comes to the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, majority of the Muslims are unaware of the significance. Therefore, in today's khutbah, inshallah, I want to share some detail in regards to the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And not only that, that will be just information. How can we practically make the most of these 10 days and ensure that we don't lose out on this great opportunity? Because surely it's way better than being in the finals. Because this, you're there, you've made it. You've made it to the end of the year. We started in Muharram, Safar, Rabiul, and now we're in Dhul Hijjah. We are in the finals. Dhul Hijjah is the finals for every single Muslim. And it's your make it or break it. You either win or you lose. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind that at the end of the year, before the year ends, He's giving you and I another chance. Every day could have been equal, but every week He gives us the blessed day of Jumu'ah. So the most distant of us and the sinful amongst us, even us, okay, people like myself, at least we drag ourselves to the masjid even on this day. And at least we make dua on this day. Even if we didn't come on any of the other days. Similarly, Allah gives us Ramadan. He gives us month like Sha'ban and Nisf min Sha'ban. Also, we have the other blessed days in the year. But if there are any days which are known as the best days of the year, by the declaration of the Quran and the declaration of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then without a doubt, not Ramadan, not Ramadan. A lot of you will look at me in a very surprising way. The best 10 days of the year are the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Starting on Sunday, Dhul Hijjah is coming home. This is a great opportunity for you and I to try and meet those targets which we weren't able to meet in the holy month of Ramadan. These are days of dhikr, of salah, of hajj, of sadaqah. Unique opportunity, even more than Ramadan. Someone might be thinking, why? Why are these? So first of all, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He takes qasam. He takes an oath, and Allah doesn't need to take a qasam. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Is there anybody more truthful than Allah? Does Allah need to take a qasam? But sometimes Allah goes beyond and He takes a qasam. Sometimes to show the importance of what He is taking qasam of. As over here on this occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Wal Fajr, Walayalin Ashr, Washafi Wal Watr, Walayli Ida Yasr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes qasam upon qasam upon qasam to show you and I the importance, the significance, the virtue of the days that we are about to start very, very soon from Sunday. Wal-fajr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking the qasam of the dawn. Wal-layalin ashr, the layalin ashr, most of the scholars of Quran and Hadith, they are of the opinion, this is in reference to the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Although the Quran says layal, but they are interchangeable. Layal, ayyam, sometimes in the Quran you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use them interchangeably. So it's referring to the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And the scholars agree that the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are more significant, more virtuous than the last 10 days of Ramadan. I didn't say nights. The last 10 nights of Ramadan are significant because it has Laylatul Qadr. There is no much. But the day, I'm talking about the day. Because in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, we have certain a'mal and actions. You don't find this combination any other time in the year. The ulama mentioned that the five pillars of Islam all took come together in these 10 days. Shahada, we find. These are the days where we are told to make takbir and tahleel. La ilaha illallah. They are the days where we raise our voices, making the talbiyah in the hajj and making the proclamation of La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah as much as possible. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. That's the shahada. Secondly, salah. We know these are the days of salah because salah is there throughout the year. So we are performing salah. Number three, fasting. How is it fasting? We find the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, he mentions there are no days in the entire year in which good deeds are more beloved to Allah than the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. There is no other day in the whole year where Allah loves your actions more than He does in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Sahaba said, Walal jihadu fi sabilillah. O Prophet of Allah, what about jihad? Remember, these are individuals who participated in the battle of Badr, in Uhud, and they had wounds on their bodies. They had lost family members. Their children had become martyrs. So they were asking, not just out of interest, it was relative to them. It happened to them already. They had been through it, they knew the sacrifice. He said, O Prophet of Allah, you're saying that in these 10 days, the actions which are carried out, they are more beloved to Allah than any other day and any other action. He said, yes. And they said, what about jihad? Because in jihad, we have lost family members. And even we've come back wounded. Look at us. He says, walal jihadu fi sabilillah. No, even better than going out in jihad, is better to worship in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Then he made an exception. Yes, if somebody was to go out and lose all of his wealth and owes all of his family or lose his life, that's different because a person's given up everything. But even if you've gone in jihad, you've got many, many wounds and you've come back, even better than that is to worship Allah in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. This is a hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari. And then we find mother of the believers, Sayyida radiallahu ta'ala anha, she mentions how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would spend the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. In one of the narrations we find that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fast for the first 9 days of Dhul Hijjah. So remember, we're going through the pillars of Islam. In these 10 days, we've got the Shahada, we've got the Salah, we've got the Sawm. So he would fast for the first 9 days of Dhul Hijjah. We know regarding the fast of the day of Arafah. Well, Arafah is the best day in the entire year. So these 10 days are not just significant in terms of their combination of 10 days. Individual virtues of each of the days. The 9th of Dhul Hijjah is the day of Arafah. The best day in the entire year, when people gather from all over the world in the plains of Arafah. And when they have gathered, this is the day shaitan is humiliated the most. And the Muslims are blessed the most. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he boasts to the angels. And he says, "Oh my angels, all of these servants of mine, millions of them who have gathered in the plains of Arafah and also throughout the world, what do they want from me? Whatever they want, I will grant it to them." And they say, "They want your forgiveness. They want your maghfirah. They want your Jannah." And he says, "Bear testimony, I have forgiven their sins and I have granted them their wishes." This is the day of Arafah. Fasting on that day, your sins of the previous year and the coming year are forgiven. So as we were saying, and there is also a hadith in Tirmidhi where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, if anybody fasts, these 10 days are the best days of the whole year. The hadith of Tirmidhi mentions the fast of one day is equal to fasting the whole year. Fasting on one of these days is equal to fasting the whole year. And standing in prayer in the night on one of the nights of the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah is equivalent to standing in prayer in Laylatul Qadr. This is the hadith of Tirmidhi. So virtue upon virtue. So number 3, we have the obligation of fasting, although we fast in the month of Ramadan, but we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam reviving this practice in the days of Dhul Hijjah. Then we have the concept of zakat. And the idea of zakat is to give, is to sacrifice, is to give away your wealth. And this is another thing we find, the act of qurbani, an animal sacrifice, and giving to the poor, we find. And then finally we have the act of hajj. This is a unique ibadah, a unique ibadah. And the need for us to discuss hajj now more than ever before, especially because of the restrictions, just because people are not going and they're not showing it as much, that doesn't mean as Muslims we should become disconnected with the Haramain and the concept of hajj. Normally this year, this time of the year, everybody will be buzzing and thinking of the Kaaba, Masjid Nabawi. They'd be thinking of the people in Ihram and watching millions gather. And that's just, you know, so many people of your family members and even yourselves would have made that amazing journey of a lifetime. But due to the restrictions, unfortunately, we are in the situation we are. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow the Muslims once again to benefit from the beautiful Kaaba and benefit from the Hajj and the Umrah, inshallah, very, very soon. May Allah open the doors once again. The 60,000 that will be performing the Hajj on behalf of the whole Muslim Ummah, may Allah make it easy for them. May Allah accept it from them. And may Allah grant them, grant us a share in their du'as, inshallah. And may Allah accept their du'as in favor of the whole Ummah, in eradicating COVID and in bringing peace, mercy and justice throughout the world, inshallah. So the act of Hajj is carried out in these days. So all the 5 pillars of Islam, they come alive in the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. In addition to this, it was in these 10 days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا, that today I have have perfected your religion of Islam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the farewell Hajj and he was in the plains of Arafah, at that time Jibreel descended with these amazing verses of the Quran, where Allah said that I have perfected your religion and completed it, and I am happy and satisfied that Islam is now going to be a universal religion, a complete package. It doesn't need any addition. It will never expire, always be relative. Muslims or non-Muslims throughout the world until the end of time will always be able to relate to this beautiful religion of Islam without the need of making any amendments or changes to it. Allah said this. When did this happen? This happened in these 10 days as well. So these are the 10 days. Brothers, the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are coming home. That's what's coming home. Even before football in the evening, the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, most likely, Allah knows best exactly when, but from Sunday, it seems that these 10 days are going to start. Now Ramadan, normally what happens is prior to Ramadan, we start planning, we start preparing, and we already know we're going to be fasting throughout the day and Taraweeh in the night, and we already know where we're going to be donating our zakat and our sadaqat, etc. However, when it comes to the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, generally we are oblivious, we are unaware, we are disconnected. This is a time now to start planning. Before Sunday comes, let us put a plan in place. Let us have a target. How are you going to spend your 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah? The best 10 days of the entire year. Better than the last 10 days of Ramadan. You cannot match it. The virtue, the significance, and the reward from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unmatchable. There are no words to describe how virtuous these coming first. And the amazing thing is, it's the end of the year. Allah is so kind, so merciful. He's giving you and me that final chance before the chapter of this year, 1442, closes. This is your time to make a difference. Yes, maybe in Ramadan you were able to complete all your targets and all your goals. Maybe you and I slipped up, we messed up, we committed sins, we disobeyed, we did everything we weren't supposed to do. This is a time to make up, to patch up, to recapture those goals. Think of those targets which you were able to meet. Whether your Quran was gathering just now, many of you have Quran apps on your phones. Some of us, if we go onto our Quran app, the last time you'll see, it'll probably open from Ramadan, the last day of Ramadan. I'm not saying this to make us feel bad, it's just a reality. For most of us, or a lot of us, this will be the reality. This is your chance now to reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These days, another amazing thing that is done is the animal sacrifice, and we call it qurbani. What does it mean, qurbani? Qurbani, qurb. Qurb means to be near. This is our chance to become qareeb, qurb, nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reality is, this worldly life and our engagement with it every single day has been creating a distance between us and Allah. Every day we're getting further and further and further and further and further away. Let us make the most of these days and let's remove that distance to become qareeb with Allah as much as possible. Let us draw close to Him. He's giving us this opportunity. 10 full days where the reward, there is no match, there is no rival. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are no other days in the year where you can gain the rewards that you're going to receive on these 10 days. Ma min ayyamin. There are no days, the hadith says, that the good deeds are beloved to Allah. Min hadhihi al-ayyam al-ashr dhul-hijjah, the 10 days of dhul-hijjah. So we need to make a game plan. What's our target? Have we got a target? So let's think, how am I going to make the most of the first 10 days of Ramadan? Before we continue to try and make some kind of a target, one thing I need to mention, Ibn Rajab, Al-Hanbali rahimahullah, mentioned something significant. He says, these days are very sacred. These are the days of Hajj. These are the sacred months. And in these days in particular, just like carrying out good deeds is rewarding, extremely virtuous, and you can gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way where you can't on any of the other days. Similar is the matter of committing sins. the detriment, the danger, and the severity of the sins that a person commits in these days is much greater than any of the other days as well. And the danger is, by committing sins in these days in particular, deprives one of the mercy and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When there's going to be a downpour of Allah's rahmah and mercy on the day of Arafah, when Iblis is going to be bawling and crying his eyes out, it's the day he becomes the most humiliated. He cries because he's been working throughout the year to deviate every one of us, to try and take us away from the right path. And on one day, the day of Arafah, if we are serious and we cry to Allah, Allah decides to wipe away everything. And that's the most humiliating day for the devil. However, if you and I do not make the most of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, are we really going to be praying on the day of Arafah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the greatest ibadah, the greatest act of worship anybody can do in the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah is not to commit sins, is to abstain from the disobedience of Allah. We can all do, I'm not asking you to do something, right? One is, do this, right? We're not telling anybody to do anything yet. We're just saying, don't do this. Is that one promise we can make to ourselves first of all? Yeah, let's start from here. This is the greatest ibadah. In one hadith we find, if you become a person that stays away from disobedience, the hadith says you are the greatest worshipper. You are the greatest, because you don't lose anything. Allah loves you anyway. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We are already created better than the angels. So if we're doing our necessary actions of our fara'id, and those things which are necessary upon us, obviously you can't undermine those things. And if you don't engage in so many optional actions, however, you abstain from the disobedience of Allah, you are the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are the closest person to Allah. What really lets you and I down is the sins that we commit. Let us make an intention that these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, whether I'm able to carry out many optional deeds or not, we'll come to that in a moment. But one thing we are promising ourselves in the house of Allah on this blessed day of Jumu'ah, just before the days of Dhul Hijjah are coming home, we're going to make this intention, this vow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, I want to try and have these 10 days sin free. Who's saying inshallah? Raise your hands inshallah. Allah loves this. Allah loves this. At-ta'ibu min adh-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lah. A person who repents, it's as if you've never committed a sin. Allah is so kind. You and I, we hold grudges. Somebody wrongs you, even if they say sorry to you, okay, we make 100 excuses not to forgive them. But you know, you don't know how I feel. Every time I see you, I'm reminded. Words are cheap. These are the things that we throw out. Allah will not do this to you. Allah, if you are sincere and we make these 10 days of tawbah, of repentance, of turning to Allah, Allah will never remind you. Allah will never humiliate you. Allah will make the angels forget. He will delete it from your book of deeds. The places where you and I committed the sins, the limbs and the organs, Allah will wipe it from their memory as well. On the day of judgment, you will rise as a person who had no sin, who committed no sin, because of turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first thing. Let us try these 10 days. Normally throughout the year, we've been committing many sins. May Allah forgive us. May Allah have mercy on our condition. The 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, my first target is not to disobey Allah. Anything can happen. Anything will happen, but I will not disobey Allah. Now we need things to help us. We're not that strong. It's easy as making an intention. Let's be real. Are we that strong? If it was that easy, okay, how many times have we made this promise before? We wouldn't be in the situation that we are, that we're in. So we need things to assist us on the way. We need some fuel that'll keep us going. And that is some additional actions that we need to do. One of the things we are told, that these days, in one hadith we find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, these days are the best days of the year. The actions done in these days are more beloved to Allah than any other. فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِ. The hadith mentions, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِ مِنَ التَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ. Excessively recite in these days, La ilaha illallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Now the purpose here is ikthar, excessive. So sometimes we're looking at quality. In this hadith, we want quantity, as much as possible. The next time you're about to have an argument, in these 10 days especially, with somebody at home, somebody at work, start reading Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And that will remind you that these 10 days I'm not supposed to argue with anybody. I don't want to lose my reward. If you're about to commit a sin, start doing the dhikr of Allah, because these 10 days, and Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in these 10 days he would go out to the marketplaces and he would scream, he would say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Don't try this at home. Nowadays, if you try doing this, you might have a different reaction. So just be a bit careful. If you're in your homes or other places, fine. But if you're doing it elsewhere, just be a bit tactful in the way you do it. Okay? The purpose of this was, these 10 days are the days of the dhikr of Allah. Why did he go around doing this loudly, making dhikr loudly? Why was he doing this? Because this reminds you, in these days, normally, when you're traveling on that bus from Medina to Makkah in ihram, and you're falling asleep, and you know, you've got your ihram and you're falling asleep, it's really, really hot, and the AC is not working properly, you're hungry and tired as well, and then somebody starts saying, Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. What do you start doing? Automatically, read with me. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. This was the idea. He would go out to the marketplaces and start doing the dhikr, so everybody else starts doing it around him as well. These are the days of takbir, subhanallah. And it's so easy. Allah's not telling you to go and learn a new dua, right? You know, write it down and learn it. No, we all know, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. We all know all of these du'as already. We do it in our dhikr as well. Why do we have these gatherings of dhikr? It's not because we want people to sit here and do that. It's so that in your life, on a daily basis, whether it's the young children pick it up quicker than the elders. And they're doing it, walking, talking, wherever you are, whether you're doing your school run, you're going to work, you're coming back, the sisters are in the kitchen, wherever you are, engage yourself all the time. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahil aliyyil azim. All the time. These are the days of dhikr, of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first promise we've made to ourselves is that we are not going to sin. The second is we're going to do as much dhikr as possible. As much as possible, whenever we get an opportunity, it doesn't cost you anything, and this will be your fuel. This will help you stay away from the disobedience of Allah. This will give you spiritual energy. Anytime you think of committing a sin, start reciting Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Subhanallah, and this is how we want to spend our 10 days. Now, if you can't fast all of the 9 days, choose some of the days. Choose Mondays and Thursdays. The minimum we want to fast is on the day of Arafah, which will most likely coincide with possibly Monday before the Eid. If Eid falls on the Tuesday, we'll find out very soon, inshallah, exactly when we will be starting. However, these are special days, holy days, the best days of the year. Brothers and sisters, the last 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are coming home. Let us make the most of them. Let's not allow the football to disconnect us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not saying don't watch it. I'm not saying don't enjoy it. I'm not saying don't follow what's happening. Okay, that's up to each individual, right? And your engagement. But don't allow, it doesn't make sense for you to stay up all night celebrating the victory of England, but then miss Salatul Fajr, especially in the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. It doesn't make sense that you've stayed up the whole night, but we couldn't have done 2 rakat of Salah. It doesn't make sense that we can stay up the whole night for that, but then the following night, which is also holy and significant, we can't stay up even 2 minutes or 5 minutes to do two rakat before we sleep. That's all I'm saying. Let's get our priorities right. Enjoy yourselves, entertain yourselves within the limits of the Sharia and the boundary. Let us get our priorities right. In connecting with the world, let's not disconnect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A great opportunity. This is our test. Last week we spoke about how Talut said to the Bani Israel, "Inna Allaha mubtalikum binahar." You all said that, yeah, you're going to do it. Allah's going to test you now with that river. Last week, you remember we spoke about the river. And the most of the people, this is your river. This match on Sunday is the river and it's a test. Let's see if we, yes, you watch, you enjoy, you celebrate, but if it overpowers you, that you end up missing your salah, you don't end up reading any Quran, we don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in reality, England can win, but I will be the greatest loser. Okay, whether they win or not, am I winning in the court of Allah? How can I lose? How can I lose because of a game of football? So I'm not saying, I don't want to be a killjoy. Watch, entertain, enjoy. But don't let that distract you from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to make the most of these 10 days inshallah. And just before the adhan, important announcement. Tomorrow inshallah, at our masjid, throughout the day from 10 a.m. in the morning till 5 p.m. in the evening, for brothers, for sisters, for anybody over the age of 18, there'll be a walk-in Pfizer vaccination unit, units, should I say. So anybody who needs to still have their vaccine, Pfizer, they're giving Pfizer out, it's available here. You don't need to book, it's walk-in, you just arrive, you can share the message with other people. For brothers, for sisters, anybody 18 and over can come and make use of this. Jazakumullahu khairan, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.